ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line, a brand new week worth of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. I've got you till 8 o'clock tonight. We've got a lot coming up on the show in about 10 minutes or so. We are going to be joined by NHL Network and FanDuel Sports Network analyst Mike Kelly. He does a lot of data work with his analysis, and he jumps in from one broadcast to another across the FanDuel Sports Network through all their RSNs across the country. He's actually going to be part of the Blues broadcast coming up tomorrow night. So Mike Kelly's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Blues. Next hour, we'll talk with Mark Saxon, associate sports editor with the Columbia Missourian. And also, he's a guy who covered baseball in St. Louis for a while. So we'll talk Mizzou, and we'll also talk a little bit baseball with him. And also next hour, maybe under the category of biggest sports story from the weekend that is not getting huge coverage, it was quite the night for Lindenwood Hockey on Friday night when they went out and they knocked off the number 5 team in the nation, DU Denver. So that we'll talk with Coach Keith Fisher about what his program was able to do on Friday night. Really a special moment for them. And they've done this now 2 years in a row. Last year, if you remember, they beat Wisconsin early on in the season, and Wisconsin was a top 10 team. This year, they beat Denver, a top 5 team, a team that is always in national championship contention. So I'm a big college hockey guy. It hasn't like infiltrated the St. Louis sports market the way it does other markets. There's some places where college hockey is a really, really big deal. And to be fair, I lived in one of those places. I lived in Colorado Springs for a while, and you had both Colorado College and Air Force that had big college hockey programs, and that's where I kind of fell in love with the sport. We're on a bit of an island because Mizzou doesn't have college hockey. The University of Illinois doesn't have college hockey. You got to travel pretty far to find the nearest college hockey program, other than like the nearest major conference college hockey program to St. Louis, unless I'm not really thinking it might be Wisconsin. That would have to be the closest one. Minnesota is in there when you go eat. I mean, Michigan, a lot of those Big Ten but you have to travel. You have to travel a far distance. So would love to see Lindenwood help people in the St. Louis area fall in love with a really, really good sport. So yeah, Keith Fisher is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll talk a little bit of Lindenwood hockey with him for sure. Fun sports weekend, interesting sports weekend. That Mizzou game, we talked about it a lot during Rush Hour Sports. I give Mizzou the credit for winning. And like I said last hour, if you were with us, playing on the road in the SEC, almost no matter who you play, it's tough. And we saw that this weekend. You've got a team in Texas A&M, legitimate national title contender, going and playing an Arkansas team that hasn't won a game in the SEC. It's a three-point game. Alabama just absolutely rolled over Tennessee. I thought Tennessee had a shot in that. I actually thought Tennessee was going to win that game because I've seen what Tennessee has done offensively this year, and I thought they were going to overwhelm Alabama. Got that one wrong. I've been wrong on a lot of college football stuff this year. Don't listen to me when it comes to college football. See, I can admit when I don't know what I'm where I'm going with stuff. But yeah, I really thought Tennessee offensively would do a lot more than they did this weekend. Vanderbilt beat LSU. I think LSU is a little bit of a fraud anyways, and I like the Vanderbilt quarterback, Pavia, so that I guess that one's not that big of a shocker. The fact that Texas barely beat Kentucky. I mean, everything you know is the fact that Florida got a win against Mississippi State in Gainesville and still cost Florida their head coach's job. Billy Napier got fired. So the home road thing is a thing. So judging Missouri too much on not overwhelming Auburn probably is not fair. At the same time, if you're Missouri, if you're trying to prove that you are an upper echelon, upper quarter team in the SEC, a team that has a legit opportunity to maybe sneak into the college football playoff, well, then you'd like to see it. You'd rather not see them playing a double overtime game against Auburn. But a win is a win is a win, and nobody is going to worry. The only time the double overtime win against Auburn will get brought up is if they start losing some games. And if they start losing some games, and then we get to the end of the season and we're doing the whole resume thing, and we say, well, they lost to Oklahoma, and they lost to Texas A&M, and they barely beat Auburn. That's the only time. And they had to go to double overtime to beat Auburn. That's the only time that this could come back to bite them a little bit, is if it's going to be used as a way to increase the negativity on their resume. If they go win a bunch of these games that are left in the season, they've got three really big games left in the year. They've got a game at home against Texas A&M, the number three team in the nation. They've got a game on the road against Vanderbilt, who's now number 10. And they have the game at Oklahoma, who's now number 13. By the way, I'm still not buying Oklahoma. I'm not. Now, part of why they didn't look good against Texas was their quarterback. They brought John Mateer back in that game, and they brought him back a week early. He should have never played. The kid that they had playing while he was injured was doing a perfectly fine job. That's just a bad decision that was made there in Norman to bring him back. But I'm still not a big believer in Oklahoma. They look good this weekend. They had the most impressive, or I guess the most one-sided road victory would be the best way to say it, because they went to South Carolina and just run them off the field, won that game 26-7. So we'll talk a little bit of Missouri football later on in the program. The Blues, that was a nice win for them. Here's where I'm stuck when it comes to the Blues. It is hard for me to like talk about them in. They looked really good against Dallas, and I'd love for that to be who they are, but I'm not convinced that it is. I know they're not the team that lost 5-0 to the Wild and lost 8-3 to the Blackhawks. I know they're not the team that's given up a million goals. It's so early on in the season. My job is to like have strong opinions about the Blues, and it's very challenging right now to have strong opinions. I could be disingenuous with you. I could be some hot take artist that turns on my microphone and starts yelling and screaming about things going on with the Blues. That's not what I believe. I think they're a really good team that's just early on in the season, and this is what happens early on in the season, but it is a challenge for me because part of my job here. It is good if people enjoy listening to this show. It's good if I'm not boring. And it's kind of boring to sit here and say, yeah, they're pretty good. They've been all right. Those losses weren't great, but it's just early. Like, that's kind of boring, right? That's not a big statement. And so that's where I'm at with the Blues right now. I am challenged to talk about them in a compelling way that is also something that I believe. If you want me to yell and scream about the fact that they lost to the Blackhawks 8-3, just so people can like listen to some guy who's upset about something, I can do that, but I don't like being disingenuous. I don't like saying things that I don't actually believe. I think they're fine. They're fun. That was a good win against the Stars. I liked that some of the some of the, you know, Jim Montgomery, we talked about this on, was it Friday when Jim Montgomery made the blender noise sound effect when he was talking? I think it was, which was hilarious. And, you know, blending up the lines, and it worked. I can say this for like the first, I am a prisoner of the moment, but for one of the first times ever, I'm like, well, okay, Jordan Kyrou, show me who you are from a defensive standpoint. Go play on that third line, go score a goal, but also go go back check. Like that was good to see. And here's where that's impactful. Here's where that's really impactful. If a Jordan Kyrou, a guy who, with all due respect to Kyrou, is not exactly known as the gritty, go into the corner, do all the small things kind of guy, and that sounds like I'm putting him down, and I'm not attempting to put him down in this moment, but that's not his reputation, right? He's a goal scorer. He's a really, really talented goal scorer. If he's going to go out and do the things that he did in that game against the Stars, well, that's going to lift everybody up. That's going to set a tone. That is really, really impactful, and we'll see if it continues on moving forward. We'll talk a little baseball. We talked earlier in the rush hour about the Shohei Ohtani game. That was crazy. Tonight we are going to get the other participant in the World Series. I don't know. Who are St. Louis sports fans rooting for in this one? There's text in. I'd be interested in this one. Drop in text messages, and I'm just going to kind of do a straw poll as we go along. Who are you rooting for tonight, Toronto or Seattle? 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you text in. Who are you rooting for, Seattle or Toronto? I'm all in on the Seattle team. I think they're fun. I don't know who's going to have an opportunity against the Dodgers, but I really think the Seattle team is fun. So, and here's, my daughter goes to a school where her principal is a big Seattle fan. And I told her, hey, every day you see the principal, go up and say, go Mariners. And she's all in on it. And I think it's given her some, you know, favored status at the elementary school. So there it is. Yeah, we're really starting to get some text in so far. We're seeing a lot of Seattles come in. So it seems like St. Louis is pulling for Seattle tonight based off the messages that I'm seeing right now. Again, 314-436-7900. You can just text. A lot of people are doing it. Just text in Seattle or Toronto, and we'll see what this looks like as we move along. We will take a break, and when we return, we are going to be joined by a hockey analyst, Mike Kelly. We'll get his thoughts on the Blues here through the first handful of games. That's up next. You are locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Very happy to welcome on to the program right now. He is a hockey analyst with NHL Network, also doing some work with FanDuel Sports Network. He is Mike Kelly. You follow him on Twitter at Mike Kelly NHL. Mike, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, my pleasure. I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing all right. So it's been an interesting start here in St. Louis for the Blues. Obviously, some pretty high expectations for them going in. Some one-sided losses, but also some nice wins on the road. And then they finally got a win against Dallas at home the other day. It's only five games in. I know you can't take too much away. But what's been your general takeaway on what we've seen so far from the Blues?
Yeah, I think, well, as you kind of touched on, a little inconsistent. The win over Dallas is a big one. I mean, Dallas is as good as just about anybody in the league. And, you know, when I went back and was looking at that game, St. Louis did a really good job of just kind of being tight defensively. You know, Jim Montgomery had some comments after the game about some of the defensive play that he said has been the best he's seen in a while. And so I think for St. Louis, that's been a positive this season. I know their goals against is you know, the bottom 10 in the league, but defensively, they've actually played really well. They will get better goaltending. That's kind of it right now, is that the goaltending, there's been a couple off nights, but when that corrects itself, I think this is going to end up being a really solid defensive team. And that'll kind of, I think that's the blueprint they're looking for to just build off the rest of their game from.
Yeah, Jordan Kyrou's never really been known as a guy who's been a great defensive player, but he had a really solid defensive game against Dallas. He has moved down to the third line. They're continuing to kind of move lines around and figure things out. And if you're getting a really good defensive performance from Jordan Kyrou, that probably means you've got a lot of forwards who are doing things well defensively.
Absolutely. When you're offensive players, especially like top offensive players, can be guys making big defensive plays, that sends a signal to the rest of the team, right? That, hey, if these guys are doing it, there's no excuses for anybody not to be doing it. And you're absolutely right. He made a couple of really nice plays. Like the goal that he scored came off of an entry that he had, but that entry that he had started by him breaking up a play in the neutral zone. So that's something when I talk to young players, whether it's early NHL or younger, that I talk about all the time, is like no forward, especially a skill forward, wants to defend in their own end. Like that, it's hard work and it's not fun. But if you can defend in the offensive zone, if you can defend in the neutral zone and turn that into transition offense, we're having fun again. So I thought that was a great example on his goal of doing exactly that. And he got rewarded for it.
We're talking with Mike Kelly, NHL Network, and also FanDuel Sports Network. Somebody that we're continuing to keep a close eye on here is Jimmy Snuggerud, who's got a little bit of time at the end of last season, but this is his first real full experience in the NHL. We've already seen him jump from the first line to the third line to the next second line. It seems like he's going out there and he's fitting in, he's getting better. What have you seen from a young guy like Snuggerud, who really seems like he's fitting in quite well very early on in his career?
I agree with you, and it's good if you can try to do it in a few different spots. And he's a goal scorer. Like he's got a really good shot. I think everybody knows that. But his instincts in the offensive zone are impressive as well, especially for a kid that age. You look this season, if you're looking at forwards per game, I was looking at this earlier today in advance of the game tomorrow that I'll be on FanDuel for in St. Louis. Slot shots on net. If you get shots from here at a high volume and you've got any sort of scoring touch at all, you're going to score a decent chunk of goals. And he ranks 24th among forwards in producing shots from that home plate slot area. He gets chances. He gets in around the net. If you go even tighter to the net, the inner slot right around the net is 29th per game, 37th in rebound chances. So you're top 40 in the league. And the season's young, obviously, but you either go there or you don't. Right. And he does go there and he's got the shot to match. So if he can continue to produce that kind of volume from these key scoring areas with the ability he has to put the puck in the net, that'll be a big, big win for the St. Louis Blues.
One player who's not on the ice right now is defenseman Logan Mailloux. They've taken him off just as he's a young guy, and they went out and got him in the offseason. There's still a lot of excitement about what he's going to turn into. But how challenging is it when you do have a young player who's trying to adjust to the NHL and it's not working, and you actually have to do what the Blues have done here and made him a healthy scratch as he tries to find his way back in? Montgomery has said once he's back in, he's in for good, but we just don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's the hard. I mean, if we're not talking about goalies, just in terms of the other positions you can play in the sport. It's the hardest one to get accustomed to, I guess, at the NHL level as a young player. You see it all the time. So it's not shocking. Like, I think Matthew Schaefer, what he's doing for the New York Islanders this year, if anyone's comparing themselves to him, and they should not be, it's setting an unrealistic expectation for everyone else. I mean, that kid has just turned 18 years old. He looks like he's been in the league for 500 games. Playing defense isn't that easy for everybody else, and it takes an adjustment period for most players. So it's not shocking. I think probably the most important thing you could do for him right now is just get him games. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's not going to be at the NHL level, just get him games, get him playing, and just continue the development path. It's not linear for everybody, and for defensemen, oftentimes it can take a little while. And if I'm a Blues fan, I really wouldn't be too concerned with where things are at now. He's a highly touted prospect for a reason. You don't want to rush a kid, especially when you're in a situation where you don't have to.
We're talking with Mike Kelly from NHL Network. You mentioned he's going to be part of the FanDuel Sports Network broadcast for the Blues tomorrow. I was looking forward to talking to you because you do so much from an advanced statistics standpoint, and we've referenced some of those in this conversation. I'm a baseball guy, and so there's so much advanced data in the game of baseball that is widely accepted. I feel like hockey is kind of right behind baseball. It started with Fenwick and Corsi, and now it's really gone beyond that. But as somebody like you who's really leading the way in that area, have hockey coaches, hockey front offices, do you feel like they've been quick to adopt that, or is it something that's still sometimes a bit of a challenge?
Well, look, in my experience of being in this space for 10 years now, and working for a company that works with a number of NHL teams, almost all of them, I would say that the adoption part is almost kind of completely done. Like, every team uses it to some degree. Some use it more than others. Some use it better than others. That's true of anything in any walk of life, right? But it'd be rare at this point to find people in an organization that don't adopt it to some degree. Like I said, some buy into it more than others. Some use it more than others. Some use it more effectively than others. But definitely in the 10 years that I've been in this space full time, it's come a long, long way. And the great thing about hockey, and the reason I love it, like you talk about baseball, I feel like baseball at this point, because of the way the sport is played, it starts and stops with the same event every single time, a pitcher throwing a ball. It was kind of made for advanced statistics in that sense. What excites me about hockey is that it's chaotic. It's still in its infancy of trying to figure it out with the technology that's available. So there's so much room for exploration and just trying things. And that's the part I love the most. And I know from talking to players and coaching staffs and managers, there's still a lot of that going on. That's to me what makes it exciting.
I don't know if you can answer this question or not, just with your role and everything, but are the Blues a team that you feel like do a nice job in terms of using advanced data?
I know some people in the organization, and I know some people in the analytics side of the organization. They've been long-time adopters. They would have a head start, I would say, on your average team, and just in terms of how long they've been looking at it and using it. And I know, you know, head coach is somebody who is aware of it and has taken time to understand it as well. I would say just in a general sense, the Blues are in a good spot when it comes to using and applying analytics.
He is Mike Kelly, hockey analyst, NHL Network, FanDuel Sports Network. You see him sometimes taking part in the Blues broadcast. He's all over FanDuel for all the various teams that are on the FanDuel regional networks across the country. At Mike Kelly NHL on Twitter. Mike, thank you so much for taking this time and being so gracious with your time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Good chatting with you, and hope to do it again soon.
That is Mike Kelly joining us on the program, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us as we got the chance to talk with him. And yeah, he'll be on again. He's part of the broadcast coming up tomorrow on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. The Blues get back at it tomorrow evening as they are going to match up against the Kings. That's going to be a 7 o'clock puck drop over at the Enterprise Center tomorrow evening. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot more coming up. We'll have a couple guests in the 7 o'clock hour just after the 7 o'clock news. We're going to talk with Mark Saxon. We'll talk Mizzou sports with him and also a little baseball. And next hour, the head coach of the Lindenwood men's hockey team that got just a fantastic win against a top five team in the nation, Denver. We'll talk with Coach Fisher coming up next hour as well. Don't go anywhere. You are locked in to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on a Monday night edition of the program. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Mark Saxon. Right off the bat, just after the 7 o'clock news, associate sports editor with the newspaper in Columbia, the Columbia Missourian. And then also next hour, we're going to talk with Keith Fisher. He is the head coach of the Lindenwood hockey team after they got a big win against number 5 DU over the weekend. So those are our interviews that are still coming up. I had thrown this out earlier. I was curious because I am rooting for the Seattle Mariners tonight. I'd like to see them win. And I threw out, hey, send in a text and let me know who you're rooting for tonight, Seattle or Toronto. Amazingly enough, there is not a single Toronto text that I've got in. So I, from a very unofficial survey, we can say that St. Louis is definitely in Seattle's corner tonight. So we'll see if they can win a Game 7 on the road. I think Toronto probably wins Game 7. At home, more often than not, you're probably going to win that game. And then we'll have a World Series matchup. A lot of people are annoyed that the Dodgers are there. I understand it. And in many ways, the Dodgers storyline has gotten a little bit hijacked here. Because, and I think, and this is not a criticism of Jeff Passan from ESPN, who I really, really like when it comes to all of the baseball insiders and the national baseball folks. Passan, if he's not my favorite, he's one of my favorites. He's really, really good at what he does. I like the way that he looks at baseball. But he had written something that kind of presented that Brewers-Dodgers series as the thing that is going to determine whether or not there's going to be a labor, whether there's going to be, labor stoppage, whether there's going to be labor issues going into 2027. And that's oversimplifying what he was saying, but in our world where everything's about headlines and bullet points, that's how a lot of people took it. So that sort of started this narrative. And then there's a report over the weekend that the Dodgers are going to make a run at Kyle Tucker. So then that just adds that much more to the whole idea
that the Dodgers are on a different level, have a different playing field. And in some ways they do. Like, I'm not trying to, there are things the Dodgers do that you really appreciate because they do take more of their profits and their income and everything and put it back into the team. I agree with that. And Dave Roberts talked about that. But also, their incomes, their revenues are a lot more. Even if other baseball teams out there were able to made the decision to put a higher percentage of what they bring in back into the team, or if these billionaire owners made the decision that they were going to take a loss on an annual basis and put more in the team, they're still not at a point where they can put the money in that the Dodgers have. So the Dodgers have kind of turned into the evil empire here. It was the same way that a lot of people looked at the Yankees, certainly when they were going on, when they were on their run in the 90s. It is just exponentially more pronounced now that the Dodgers are doing things that other teams do not do. So it's being presented in a way that this is going to force a work stoppage a little bit more than a year from now. And look, there's a lot of kind of angling agendas that come to all of this. And I promise you, owners are already trying to plant things with some of the baseball insiders. Agents are trying to do some things. The Players Association, you're going to see a lot of stuff. If you're starting to see some things written, especially from a lot of people that are pushing you in the same direction, I would encourage you to think about what you are seeing and whether or not this is being pushed by somebody who's got a little bit of an agenda. I'm not saying that there's not going to be a work stoppage after this upcoming season. I'm very sure there is going to be a lockout during the offseason. Once the owners can lock out the players, they are going to. Honestly, I'd be surprised if spring training starts on time. But I would suspect that it ends up playing out the same way that the last one did, where spring training started a little bit late, but you were still able to get the full 162-game schedule in. Nobody wants to miss games. Players don't want to miss games. Owners don't want to miss games. Nobody wants to miss games. And until they get to a point where they are actually missing games, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's going to go in that direction. And I could be wrong. I certainly could. I don't know how dug in everybody is. If here's what causes you to miss games, though. If the owners walk into it a year from now and they say, we want a salary cap, and we are not moving off the idea of having a salary cap, well, then there's going to be missed games, because that's not something that the players agree to. But if the owners walk in and say there is a problem with some of these teams and the amount of money that they can spend, and it's creating a disparity in the competitive ability of teams to win at the highest level, well, then you can start having a constructive conversation about the things that can happen. And I think there are things that can be done. I've talked a lot about this lately, so please forgive me if you've heard me say what I'm about to say. But I think if they came out of this next collective bargaining agreement and created an extreme tax on the big-time spenders, on the Dodgers and the Mets of the world, where, I mean, it takes what they're paying right now in the luxury tax and taking it just to another level where exponentially it is a huge number, where it would either force those teams to come back from that number, or it would distribute so much money across the rest of baseball that it would be impactful. Well, that would be the first thing you can do. I do believe there should be a salary floor. I would contend that it is a bigger issue in baseball. Some of the teams that are not spending enough money as opposed to some of the teams that are spending. And I would also, if there was a salary floor, I would take it one step further where every team has to spend the floor plus whatever money they receive from revenue sharing as a result of the tax money. So if the salary floor is $100 million, $120 million, let's say $100 million, and you receive $7 million because the Dodgers took their payroll to a certain point, well, then you should be required at $107. So it would force that money to be re-spent
I'd really like to see that. And that starts the process. An international draft is something. So there are things that can be done. And I don't think the Dodgers being in the World Series and the Dodgers potentially winning the World Series is going to mean, oh, there's not going to be baseball in 2027. Or, oh, they're going to miss the start of the season. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. But I do think it's really, really important for each side to understand what the other side is dug in on, what the other side is not willing to negotiate on, and then go from there. Because there's going to be a ton of things that are negotiable. Ton of things. So go find some common ground on those things, and then take your respective losses in the areas where the other side just will not come off of it. And if you do that, it probably results in a better CBA than is in right now. But if you're focused just on winning, if you're focused on getting things done that the other side will not budge on, that's where it could be a problem. And if you sit there and try to say, look at the Dodgers, they got to the World Series, maybe they won the World Series, they went after Kyle Tucker after winning the World Series, if that happens, that hasn't happened yet. If you try to project the Dodgers as the evil empire, the reason why everything in baseball is not good, well, then I think that's a hard place to start from. And there's nothing wrong with focusing in on the fact that there are teams that are not big money teams that can have success. Whether, you know, the Cleveland Guardians are a great example in the run that they went on. Obviously, the Milwaukee Brewers. And I know people say, well, the Brewers got swept by the Dodgers. I would also contend, as someone who pays a fair amount of time, fair amount of attention to the Brewers, I know they always think out of the box. I know that they are they're a really smart team. I don't think they were smart against the Dodgers. Now, when the Dodgers threw out that starting pitching that they had, it's no matter how smart you are, it's hard to win, that's for sure. But the Brewers just got too cute. They just got too cute. They basically used one conventional starter during their playoff run, and that was Freddy Peralta. Eventually, Jose Quintana got a start. They kind of sidelined Quinn Priester after he did not have a good start, after he had a fantastic year. If I'm not saying the Brewers are in the World Series, I don't think they are. I think it was almost the team that won that Dodgers-Phillies series was the team that was going to represent the National League in the World Series. That's what I said then, and that's what I really believe. But I think the Brewers could have made it a little bit more interesting against the Dodgers if they would have done some things differently. And the Brewers absolutely deserved to beat the Cubs. This is not the Cubs were better than the Brewers statement. That's not what I'm saying. But because of how the Cubs are built, because of the Cubs' ability to hit home runs, even though I think the Dodgers win that series, even though I think the Dodgers are in the World Series, no matter if they play the Brewers or the Cubs in that spot, I do think the Cubs probably would have stolen a game or two just as a result of being able to hit home runs. You go hit home runs, you win games. You're gonna slug your way to a win or two in that series if you're the Cubs, something that the Brewers just did not seemingly have the ability to do. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. We still have to get into more college football. We'll do that a little bit with Mark Saxon after the 7 o'clock hour. Talk through what happened with Mizzou. They got the win. Do you feel better? Do you feel worse about the Tigers after they get that win? We'll discuss that a bit on the other side of this break, and then we'll talk through it with Mark Saxon after the 7 o'clock news. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at as we start to wrap up hour number one of the program. So we're going to talk with Mark Saxon in just a few moments. He works with the Columbia, Missouri, and we'll talk Mizzou football with him. Mizzou got a win. That was the most important thing. They went on the road. It wasn't an overly impressive victory. It was against a not-so-great Auburn team. They had to go double overtime to get the win, but a win is a win is a win, and Missouri does get the win against Auburn 23-17. And what that win does is it continues to keep on the table everything that Missouri would like to accomplish this year. I have more questions about Missouri, though, right now than I did before this game. because I was pretty sure that Missouri was a really good running team. We talked about Ahmad Hardy so much and what he had done. This is Ahmad Hardy's line from Auburn. And admittedly, Auburn's got a very good run defense. That is one of their strengths. Ahmad Hardy against Auburn, 24 carries, so a legitimate number of carries. It's not like the week before where you come out of it going, man, they didn't even give it to Hardy. No, they gave it to him. 24 carries, 58 yards, did have two touchdowns, never had a carry more than 17 yards. Kevin Wheeler shared this with me earlier. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was a telling stat. So I'm not getting the numbers right, but I'll get the theory behind it right. Hardy, over the last 2 weeks, has more rushing yards after contact than he does having rushing yards. Again, I'll say that again. More rushing yards after contact than actual rushing yards. So what that means is Hardy is getting hit a lot before he even gets back to the line of scrimmage. And he, on his own, is doing much of this work. So this is not a shot at Ahmad Hardy. It is a little bit of a shot at Missouri as the ability on their overall team-wise ability to run the ball. But when you're out there playing Central Arkansas and Louisiana and UMass, it's a little bit different than when you're playing Auburn and Alabama. And as much as I like Ahmad Hardy, I do have some questions right now of just how good is the Missouri running game. Maybe there is a reason they went away from it against Alabama. We'll talk about that with Mark Saxon. He joins us after the 7 o'clock news. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.